Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
And hello once again. It is Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world. And we are live today from Coos Bay, Oregon. And this is it for now. This is the very final regularly scheduled broadcast of Boomer Tech Radio. We are putting the show on hiatus while we complete a move and take care of some other business. It's been a 10-year run for this program. We started out, tech was, you think about the tech that has happened in the past 10 years. Products that nobody even thought of have become ubiquitous. We'll talk a little bit about that. The rise of smart everything. E-readers were the pinnacle of technology when we started, and now they're an add-on accessory for a lot of our tablets. But we are live, and we should be able to, through the miracle of electronics, if somebody wants to call in and say bye-bye, thank glad you're off the air, or whatever, 530-605-4567. And Jared, our engineer for this final episode, back in Reading, should be able to patch us through. But we wanted to kind of backtrack on a couple of things that we've noticed during the week, some observations on the Christmas holiday, CES coming up, lots of things. So one thing we wanted to mention is that we met through a combination, Brenda and I, met through a combination of technologies. First of all, before it was a thing, she and I met via Match.com. This is the, and now a lot of people meet via online, but 15 years ago, wasn't such a big thing. But we, I had put up a profile and I wrote some flowery words. That did not include taking long walks on the beach.
You always mention that phrase every time.
Well, it's what
I didn't have that either.
Yeah, well, it's what people say when they can't think of anything intelligent.
Oh,
I like long walks on the beach in the moonlight.
Are you mocking people that like to do that?
Well, there is something to be said for walking on the beach in the moonlight, but it's like the catch-all phrase when people can't think of anything else.
But I traced you down on the radio.
Yes, I had a radio show, which was not – it had some tech elements, but it was not primarily a tech show. And I'd always dreamed of doing a full-on technology show. I had maybe not delusions of being a Kim Komando sort, but certainly talking about the trends, maybe answering questions occasionally. And for the past 10 years, we've done that. We've attended three CES shows in Las Vegas as Boomer Tech Radio, and four of them. Oh, I lost track.
Yeah, because you had been one time before we started going together, and you now have your 5-year banner on your registration.
Yeah, my five. Okay, yeah. Yeah, my
that
five
gets
show.
Attention. You
yeah.
Know, some longevity. We hope to go again in 2020.
We would very much like that. But we've seen a lot of things evolve. When we started this show, tablets weren't really a thing.
Not yet.
There was a discussion, and I remember this, the very first show that Brent and I attended together, about what they called the screen gap. Netbooks were just coming into vogue with their little 12-inch screens, and people kind of sneered at them. And then there were smartphones with 4-inch screens. Of course, the iPhone
tiny
dominated.
Tiny screens yeah. by today's smartphone
yeah.
standards.
Yeah, you look at an iPhone 1, and that Jobs was there waving over as it. It's a phone, but it's a computer, too, and all this stuff. And people going, what? There was this talk about the screen gap, that there was nothing to go in between.
The tiny and the big.
And the discussion.
Full-on
yeah.
tablet size. I mean, laptop size.
The discussion was that there would be a product to fill that gap, and lo and behold, we have phablets, we have
e-meters.
Large screen phones, we have the Kindle Fires. Which come in a variety of sizes.
And, of course, tablets.
And, of course, the iPad, which defined the tablet era. And that's just happened over a 10-year span. And it's been exciting to watch that. And there's people who are into their Android devices and people who are into their iDevices. And iPhones, iPads, thing, they have a tech following, but they're also sort of a status thing, which I think is...
It's a cultural phenomenon.
It is a cultural thing. To have the... I haven't understood the torn blingy jeans with an iPhone sticking out of the back pocket, because I can't think of a worse place to stick a phone, a $1,000 device, than hanging out of your back pocket.
I can't think of a more useless pair of jeans.
Yeah, well...
Other than, to be seen
yeah.
type of thing. They're not terribly practical for doing work, which is what I put jeans on
well,
for.
Yeah, well.
But I'm not of that mindset.
A lot of these are not people who do, they do work, just not quite by the definition. Anyway.
Grubbing in the dirt.
Yeah. We have enjoyed this show, and we've called it, we were there for the introduction of the next big thing, 3D television, which...
fell on its face.
Yeah, a lot of people who were in the know said, this will never work. And lo and behold, you don't see 3D TVs
nope.
on the market. What you are seeing, we're going to talk about this during the show, of course, is 4K TVs. Is it time to buy a 4K TV, especially now that prices have dropped post-Christmas? The answer is a qualified yes, and we'll go into some of the reasons why during the show. But a fair amount of tech news. Did you get a smart speaker under your tree? A lot of people apparently did. So many, in fact, that the thousands of people plugging in new smart speakers on Christmas Day were greeted by a less-than-smart response after the virtual assistant Alexa crashed system-wide. Servers controlling the system were overloaded with questions and requests, prompting Alexa to tell users, sorry, I'm having trouble understanding you right now. Happened about 10 a.m. GMT, which is, what's 10 a.m. GMT here?
Approximately 2 in the morning.
Okay, so apparently a lot of people
Pacific
in the
time.
UK were plugging in their Alexas. Of course, the system works by sending voice commands via an Echo device to a server. A computer interprets them. Instructions then go back to the Echo. The gadget will play music, read the weather, perform tasks such as turning lights on. So when you think about the trip, the round trip, and the number of requests all being made at the same time, with the number of speakers plugged in, that's a pretty impressive load.
Pretty amazing that it can handle that.
That's being undertaken. And some Echo devices, Amazon's customer service around lunchtime in the UK, tweeted out that the Echo devices in Europe have had intermittent connections. Amazon spokesperson said, for a short period, we had an issue that intermittently impacted some customers' ability to interact with the service. Nothing to see here. Move on.
I don't think it was like that. Well, it might have been like that, but that's not what people wanted it to be like.
Yeah. Now, some people have found the Alexa to be a little bit creepy, that it's monitoring your every word. It's not really. It waits for the wake word. However, sometimes it will hear other things and think it's getting the wake word. Of course, there was a controversy some weeks ago. Reports that a customer was told by Alexa to kill your foster parents. The user heard the message on his Echo device, wrote a review on Amazon's website, calling the words a whole new level of creepy. An investigation discovered that the bot had quoted from the social media site Reddit, which is noted for harsh and often abusive content. So this is the Tay effect. Remember,
right.
Tay, the digital assistant,
yep,
who was learning
very
from social media?
Quickly corrupted.
And, yeah, within 24 hours turned into a garbage-spewing monstrosity that had to be shut down before she launched the nuclear missiles. Colossus, the Forbin Project.
As if.
Skynet.
It was so unclear that people
that this would happen.
That. Yes.
Yeah. Anytime that you make tech dependent upon the goodwill of people, guess what's going to happen?
They're going to mess with it to the maximum.
They will mess with it just to mess with it.
Yep. Indeed.
Speaking of people using technology to mess with other people, digital vandalism. And disruption, and just more tools to disrupt people's lives with. Well, you heard about Gatwick Airport, that had Christmas chaos because some individuals were flying drones into the flight patterns, and shut down London's Gatwick Airport, for almost 36 hours just before Christmas. The British Army stepped in and deployed Israeli anti-drone tech. Drone circling the drone dome system was deployed. Britain paid several million dollars for the technology back in August. The system was activated. It's not clear why it took so long to activate this system.
They were seeking permissions.
Yeah. The whole point was that the system analyzes the signals and sends out countermeasures, jams the drone, forcing them to either go off course or, preferably,
go back to their
fly right back to the owner. Because
that would be nice.
Yeah, because then the police swoop in, and they have made a couple of arrests. And these individuals are in the, as the Southern folks would say, in a whole heap of trouble now. interfering with aircraft, operating these devices. So these people are probably looking at some serious time on the inside looking out. Anyway, but this is possibly a thing. This is, you know.
I don't understand people
and I know,
who have to engage in that kind of disruptive behavior.
Right, and then people are going to say, well, this is why we don't need any new technology.
This is just.
You hear that. You hear the Luddite.
Yes, but these people are being obnoxious. And if you know, no one from that group is listening to us. But if I could speak to them, I say, why? You're being a jerk.
Because.
And if you get your jollies off of doing that kind of chaos, then you're sick.
Well, there are apparently a lot of sick. Well, and there's a lot of this, I'm the only one on the planet, witness the individual last night who blocked up the entire parking lot with their car because they wanted to blather with their buddy into hell with anybody sitting behind them waiting to get out. There are times when you wish you did have a bumper-mounted laser. It's a... that would be abused.
Using technology to combat technology, which is exactly what the British Army did in this case. So it's interesting that the Israelis have this technology, and I have every confidence that the U.S. has the same thing.
Yeah,
I would be very, very surprised if this was an unknown concept or not being used by U.S. military and or law enforcement, high-level law enforcement. So it just makes perfect sense.
Let's talk a little bit about pop-up fishing, because a friend of ours who is a regular listener of the show got a pop-up on her iPad, possibly linked to an email. She went so far as to dial the number. When you get a pop-up that says, dial this number to fix your problem because all your files are corrupted, be afraid, be very, very afraid, and don't do it.
And it was the message came up was scary because it said, your pad has been locked due to blah, blah. And that is a red flag right there.
Yeah.
And it looked like it was from Apple. It had Apple logo. They can borrow this stuff. These are very clever
things.
There's
a thing called Photoshop.
Yeah, there's, you know, those logos are readily available. So it looks authentic, but Microsoft, Apple,
and
the IRS
are
going to call you or contact you directly like this.
Yeah.
It does in that manner. It doesn't happen. I had a similar experience that I'll talk about, but continue on the advice that you passed
right.
on.
Right. So, So if you get this on your pad or on your PC, force a shutdown. And depending on your device, it's a matter of just holding down the power key until it cycles down the power. And if you are lucky, which most 9 times out of 10, what's going to happen is that this is something in your browser cache. And it has locked up your browsers and so that you can't turn it off.
I had that problem.
But if you force the shutdown, what you do is you flush that information out of the working memory of your device, be it a PC, be it a tablet, be it a phone. Then it should restart normally. If it doesn't, before you take any further action, that's the time you want to contact customer service for whatever your device is. Our friend contacted Apple customer service. They were very familiar with the problem. They walked her through a solution. Apparently these things did call Apple, didn't
yeah,
she?
They said that's not us.
Yeah. They verified that it wasn't them. If you really have to, if push comes to shove, hopefully you have been keeping your pictures and your important stuff on an external drive or a cloud server, in which case your ultimate solution is to do a factory reset. And the instructions vary depending upon your device. But if you're really concerned that you have had a corrupting it's really – you have to almost work to get a virus on – your smartphone or your, especially an iDevice.
Yeah, don't click.
You have
on
to work kind of hard. You have to give permission.
Right, and that's the other thing.
But don't just hit the X. That's a bad idea.
Because sometimes that'll download malware.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing too, especially with Apple devices, unless it's come from the App Store, it's not legit.
Right. Never, especially on an iDevice, never download software that didn't come to you via the App Store. That's the reason for the App Store. There is malware on the App Store, but they're fairly diligent about, you know, getting it out of there as soon as it shows up. But
well,
people will keep trying.
And it's, you can't. It's not like you go to the App Store and search out malware, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be hidden in something else. You download a game or some other kind of thing, and then the malware piggybacks on that. It's really – you think you're getting a game, for instance, and you're actually getting malware.
Remember, if it's cool and if it's cool and it's free, it's probably a trap. It's the cheese on the mouse trap.
Yeah, that kind
and
of thing.
You are the mouse.
Now, I had a similar – thing pop up when I was on a particular website. I kept getting a pop up window that said, "Click here to win chance to win $1,000 at Walmart or something like that."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Yeah, right, whatever. Okay, how come it doesn't do it over here on this website?" So I closed the browser, reopen it, and I had some tabs that it came back to. So I didn't really close the browser out completely.
Yeah.
And I kept getting this message. I said, I rebooted my device. It did the same thing. So finally I said, okay, this has to be a browser issue.
So you cleared your browser.
So I cleared my browser. Well, I closed all the windows and I closed the browser.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go and clear the cache, but by closing those tabs, windows, apparently it was sufficient. Yeah. I brought the browser back online and then went to the same website that I was having trouble with, and the problem solved itself. Yeah. So anytime you can close that browser completely, close all the tabs, and then close the browser, then go back and see if you have the problem. And if you really want to secure things in between, reboot your device as a power off reboot, not just a restart, but a power down reboot. And that should really take care of everything.
And depending on your device, it might be. Now, we discovered something about Android operating system. It is possible through the security settings to require a password, your system password, to shut the system down. Now, I got a problem with that. And I'll tell you why. It is possible that the malware may masquerade as that prompt, and you've just given them your password.
Right.
If any of this hinky stuff happens, go ahead and change your password on a different device. If you're on iCloud or you have an iTunes password, go to a different device, get into your account, and change your password, obviously following all the rules that we give you for passwords. Do not use the word password. Do not use the password 123. Do not use 123456 7. Do not use I hate Trump. Any of those, you know.
Whatever.
Or I hate Obama
monkey.
Or whatever.
Why is monkey so popular?
Yeah, and monkey is apparently quite popular. What is up with that?
I don't understand
stupid
that
passwords.
One.
Don't use stupid passwords.
Well, they're not.
Please.
They're not stupid passwords. They just happen to be very common passwords.
Yeah.
Although I have to admit, 123456 or the word password.
There's no imagination.
Those are stupid.
Yeah. So make sure that you practice a little bit of security with your account, especially in one of the big scams now, of course, is the traffic ticket email.
Oh, yes.
You get a ticket saying, we caught you on our red light camera. A warrant has been issued for your arrest. Now, there's your first thing, because they never will just issue a warrant for your arrest for running a traffic light. For one thing, depending on where they don't have room for your sorry butt. You know, the jails are overflowing onto the street. They're not going to come haul you off in irons for running a traffic light. So never respond to one of these things. If you get one of these messages from the IRS or your local law enforcement or whoever, close your browser and the very next business day, contact them through the normal means. Never call the number on your screen, because that's just going to send you to phone center.
That's what they want you to do.
Our friend who called the number wound up talking, you know, to somebody, and we would presume on the other side of the planet, judging from the accent involved. And this is no slur on anybody. It's just how things work.
Exactly. That's also another red flag if you're not. That although any more system
outsourcing,
it's very common.
And a lot of these people, when you outsource for technical support, you're talking to somebody who is reading you stuff off a screen that you can find yourself.
Yep.
So don't be afraid to do a little research. Look into, type in your question in plain English into your search engine of choice, whether it be Google or Bing or, God forbid, Bixby, look for the solution. Maybe Siri, for those of you who, when Siri works.
I was just going to say, when Siri works. That's a reference to a movie line, actually.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a lot of this. If you are not the only one in the history of technology who has ever experienced this exact problem, trust me. So you're going to want to do a little bit of research. In this case, Google or Bing or whoever is your friend. Now, you'll see a lot of ads of people who will gladly take your money and maybe or maybe not solve your problem. But if you look at things like Tom's Hardware, some of these other sites, you will see solutions to your problem. And it's how, even though I am fairly savvy. I have used Tom's Hardware and sites like that a lot of times to solve a problem. We're hitting the bottom of the hour break. It is Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob. She's Brenda. This is Tech News You Can Use. Three more segments to go.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Mark Hummel's Blues Harmonica Blowout brings a roster full of Grammy winners and nominees to the Cascade Theater January 16th. It's a stellar night of Southern Blues Harp Masters featuring Bobby Rush, Kenny Neal, James Harmon, Johnny Sansoni, and Mark Hummel's Golden State Lone Star Blues Review featuring Jensen Funderburg. The Blues Harmonica Blowout at the Cascade, January 16th at 7:30. Get your tickets now at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
This Christmas, give the gift of down-home comfort food and treat yourself as well. Buy $25 in gift cards from Black Bear Diner and get $5 in Bear Bucks for your own post-holiday meal. Gift cards are the perfect gift. What better way to send your love than a cozy home-style experience? Stop by Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive. Open Christmas and New Year's. Don't forget, you can enjoy your favorite comfort food at home. Order online at blackbeardiner.com, pick up, or have it delivered.
Black Bear Diner.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading. On the web at advancedautoreading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
And welcome back. Boomer Tech Radio is the name of the program, and we are here for our very final live. Did I break up a little bit on that? I think it was too loud for that. Anyway, here for our very final live broadcast of Boomer Tech Radio. The show will be leaving the airwaves, but we're putting the time slot into good hands. There's two shows coming up, Talking Tech. And I forget the host name. That will be a live program, so you'll be able to call in and get your questions answered, followed by Pop Tech from the publishers of Popular Science Magazine, and they always do some pretty nice
articles.
Yeah, they
do some interesting stuff.
And so we'll be able to you will still have be able to get your tech fix every weekend, just
different source.
Yeah. Now, we may move into some podcasting. We already have a podcast channel set up, but we're going to take a break for the first portion of the year and sort of figure out what we want to do.
Right, and it's a little much to be
moving and keeping a show going. Yeah,
that's a little overwhelming.
We have the question
going into semi-retirement. Yeah. I'll call it that because, you know, hard telling what we'll get ourselves into.
The question is rapidly becoming: which house is item X in? And is it in a box here? Is it in a box there? Did we not box it yet? Did we get rid of it? You know.
It's also a case of which do we call home? One feels more like home, and we're not there as often. The other is home, is also a home. So we've just started referring to them by their location, the Oregon House and the Reading House.
Yeah. and this was not any particular reason why we are departing the state.
It's there is.
Well, we
it
might
has
go
not,
boating.
It has yeah, to do with the exactly. Boat, the temperature.
Blame it on the boat.
And the weather. You know, I'm a Humboldt County beach penguin by birth, and I don't do well in Redding hot summers. Not my thing. I'm not into roasting it.
Yeah.
You know, it gets over 100 degrees, and I really start to complain.
Well, we're not going to drop off the planet. We will stop by from time to time, and we may do some bits and pieces. I have told the Carl there at the radio station that I'll be available to do a few commercials in case you're just not completely sick of my voice by now on a lot of commercials. But I'm leaving the station, of course, in some very capable hands in terms of the engineering. Jared is become quite a good producer, and we do appreciate your hard work there, Jared, if you are listening in right now. And of course, Ashley Esses, our other weekend producer, will be doing some morning stuff. Then Sue McLean will be doing, more in the morning. So plenty of stuff going on, but new programming coming in. And there's going to be, we're just going to have a, we're not going to just vanish into the ether. We will be in touch from time to time.
You can always follow Boomer Tech online.
Right. And, the Boomer Tech Radio Magazine, I'll do my best to keep that up. And you can, of course, go get the Flipboard app, on your device, whether it be Android or iOS. Get the Flipboard app and then subscribe to Boomer Tech Radio, and that'll give me a little incentive. And then, of course, the email, boomertechradio@gmail.com, we're keeping that up and going. But among the things I wanted to do was another big thank you shout-out to Advanced Automotive.
Absolutely.
Through it all, Tim and Cody have backed up this program, helped us keep the lights on, if you will, and made it been a good source of information, and they're damn fine mechanics besides.
Right.
And good friends. We attended Cody's wedding. In fact, we shot video at Cody's wedding.
We did a video for him.
And but they're it's far deeper than any business relationship, and we wish them the very best and the staff down there at Advanced. And if you do need some automotive work done, I cannot recommend them highly enough. And in fact, one of the things that you do when you move into a new town is you look for, you know, your doctor, your dentist, and your
pet
auto mechanic,
doctor,
and your veterinarian, and all these people.
Plumber, electrician, you know.
And, of course, your best source on that.
Haven't needed a lawyer yet.
You haven't needed a lawyer, but at some point we probably will.
Yeah, probably.
We're going to be around for a while. We're not just going to, like I said, vanish overnight.
Well, I know you. You can't stay out of this business, number one. And two, there are some opportunities to continue Boomer Tech in some form, either as a podcast online or we may get involved in local media, in which case there will be another source of for you to tap into.
Yeah.
And undoubtedly online, but still, if you haven't had your fill of us, we may be back in some form. So.
We'll be back. Thank you very much.
I don't know. It could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. I'm not sure.
Well, while I'm doing vague movie references, you're going to want to keep a close eye on any emails that come in that claim to be from Netflix. Federal Trade Commission has issued a warning about fake messages. We were talking about spoofing messages earlier. Fake messages claiming to be from the streaming service that are really just trying to snag your login info or distribute malware. Apparently it's happening all over. Ohio police are reporting the UK.
Yep, has had a similar problem.
Yeah, the message uses British English spelling of certain words, which is a red flag. If you're a U.S. customer and you're seeing program spelled with the final E or colors spelled or center, C-E-N-T-R-E, you see those British spellings and you're an American customer getting a message from a American company, that's when you're going to want to look real careful at what's going on. Never enter your password credentials, your login credentials, in response to an email that you've gotten from anybody. Phishers, I love this line, phishers are trawling for information in order to find other accounts that use the same email password combination because we are inherently lazy.
Well, and we're creatures of habit.
And we are creatures of habit, and we would like to just use a single password and get everything unlocked. If you really want to do that, there are services that you can buy into, LastPass or Dashlane or any of those, that will store your password credentials on your device, and you just need to remember one password. Now, when I logged into my Gmail account from a new computer, a new old computer, I put an old computer back into service.
A device that it didn't recognize.
Right. Interesting, when I logged in, I had to go find the little book that I write down my Gmail password in, enter that, and then it sent, instead of the six letter code that it sent to my phone, it actually said, activated an app on my phone, said, is this really you?
Right.
And the presumption is that if your phone and you have become separated, it will in short order, either you will remote shut it down or it will shut itself down and random attempts to break in. Now there are ways to circumvent biometrics, but unless somebody has your face, or has your fingerprint or whatever, they're not going to get in. And most devices, when you try X number of times, the phones will lock up. And if you're really paranoid about your information, you can set your phone to self-destruct, just like Mission Impossible. After X number of attempts to open it, the phone will undergo a factory reset and wipe its memory. Now, if all of your stuff is backed up online, it's no big deal because when you get your new phone, especially like you, when you get your new Android or your new iPhone, notice all your stuff comes back.
Right.
So that's sort of, this goes back to the, when your phone or device is compromised and you have a lot of things online. This is why I like Google Docs. It's not the most secure in the world, but all your stuff is in a safe place. If somebody hacks Google, your documents are probably the least of your problems. But Netflix is you're going to want to look for any recent streaming activity for IP addresses that you don't recognize. And if you have a static IP address or maybe at odd hours, if somebody, if you see an odd IP address that is streaming stuff at 3 a.m. in the morning your time,
yeah,
the odds are that somebody in Malaysia or someplace like that, because there's a big market for Netflix accounts.
Undoubtedly.
And Netflix does not apparently at this time. Yeah, if somebody, I've gotten alerts from Apple that somebody in China was logging into my account.
That's right.
And they had actually made a purchase. I worked with Apple customer service. They recognized the IP address as a one. And this was like a, forget about the charge, it was like $30 for some game.
Yeah.
And this is how they skim money, is that they spoof your account and then they buy these bogus games. I think it was, maybe it was $100. It was enough that it jumped off the page at me and I went, whoa, wait a minute, this wasn't me.
Right.
They reversed the charge and restored my account. So look up the customer service of Apple or Samsung. Good luck with Samsung, but of your device. And contact them using a number that you look up yourself. Never use the one in the email, okay? Same with Netflix. If you have any questions about your service, please call this 800 number while you're handing them everything.
Right.
Look up Netflix customer service. In fact, I could look it up here in 10 seconds. I bet within 30 seconds after I tell Brenda, what is the 800 number for Netflix customer service? She would have it up on her screen. So if you do share your account, you really shouldn't share your account no matter how much you like your young cousin. But if you do, make sure that you haven't just cut them off. ScreenPop, please update your payment details. We're having some trouble with your current billing information. In the meantime, you may want to update your payment details. See, it's very subtle. Your friends at Netflix.
Yeah.
And then it says, questions, call 800, and it gives a phone number.
Yep.
But that just gets you into a call center. These are professionals. They know how to work you when they get you on the phone. So,
well, and if you get a little resistant, they get very assertive. And if you get even more resistant, they get downright aggressive, almost abusive. What, you mean you don't want to save your family money? That was the whole thing with the solar panel people. Haven't heard from them in a while.
Yeah.
I told them to get lost, but, you know, it's one of those things. So, yeah, you can easily look up. I did. Took me more than 10 seconds because I was typing slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of getting a reply from Google about contacting, I just put how to contact customer Netflix.
Yeah.
That's all I did. I didn't even put customer service.
Google is your
friend.
And
they have it right there. They give you an 866 number, first of all. And then there were several other links that are apparently on the Netflix site. And so you'll be able to find that very quickly.
But, again, do the research yourself. If they spoon-feed you the solution, then there may be a little salt in that sugar. A
couple tips on when you're trying to research something like this. One is
– keep it simple.
Well, keep it simple. You don't have to fill in full phrases. It's only going to look for keywords anyway. It'll ignore the of, the, and, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But also when you do see something come up in the browser, the first three a lot of times are ads.
Mm-hmm.
And
skip
so
past
skip
those.
Past those. Anything that says ad, go past it. First of all, I'm allergic to giving them money. You click on that, you just paid somebody some money for maybe information that isn't what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case where it says Netflix, a phone number, further down here there's some kind of website that links to called Get Human. I don't know who the heck that is. Forget it. So what you want to look for in
Get Human is a legit site.
True, but it's just an example of how you're not going directly to the Netflix site itself. So there's one here that says Netflix Help Center. That's the blue header. I'm in Chrome. And then below that is another little thing that'll indicate what kind of, you know, it's not a URL, but it's another thing. But it says where it's originating from, and in this case, it says Netflix itself. So in anything that you're searching for, while GetHuman may be legit, that's the first time I've run into it. Here's another one about that says Better Business Bureau. It's probably not going to help you get to Netflix, but at the same time, that's usually pretty legit, so on and so forth. So be selective about the link that you click on. Don't just click on the very first one trying to say. Most of the time, the very first one is ad-oriented.
Well, that's how they make their money.
Right.
Is by serving up ads to the top of the list.
Be discerning and discriminating.
There we go.
When you do these kinds of searches to make sure that you're getting more, probably getting into the site that's actually for that, particularly when you're doing like online banking and things like that. You want to make sure you're on the right site.
Yep. Let's talk about 5G. We're starting to hear. Remember the big fuss over 4G and everybody, it was about 8 or 9 years ago. Everybody was on a 3G. These are generations. 4G is what we have right now, and it's been rolling out slow improvements over time. Well, now the buzz, and you're going to see this at CES, all the news out of CES is going to be about 5G devices.
Genuine 5G devices.
It's
genuine
rolling
5G
out slowly.
Service.
And there's three things that are kind of the devices have to be in place, the networks have to be in place, but the networks won't be going into place until there are devices enough to make it pay. But the devices won't sell until there are networks enough to make it pay. So you've got a chicken egg thing.
Feedback loop.
Yeah, you've got a chicken egg thing going on. AT&T's 5G network went live in 12 cities across the country last week. The limited introduction available for anyone who happened to have a 5G device. Tiny percent of the population actually has that technology. At the moment, AT&T is claiming the first. See, whoever's out there first is getting the low-hanging fruit. Since there are no 5G handsets actually on the market at the moment, the only way to take advantage of the high-speed technology is something like the mobile hotspot. Remember for a while everybody had mobile hotspots to take advantage of 4G? Because once because your Wi-Fi is faster than your wireless connection. Under the new standards, the Wi-Fi connects up at an extremely high rate of speed, and then it's just dependent on your download from the service provider. But 5G speeds are going to be pretty impressive. Now, Verizon was deploying a commercial 5G network with a 5G home broadband service in parts of Sacramento, Houston, Indianapolis, and Los Angeles. Now, Verizon service isn't really 5G. See, this is one of these words is going to get tossed around.
A globally recognized 5G standard.
Yeah. We're going to be well into 2019 before there's any significant deployment of mobile 5G networks. The next generation of phones. So this would be a really bad time to buy the Galaxy or the Apple or whatever. So this is probably going to really slam Apple's sales, because everybody's going to be waiting for the 5G additions. That having been said, if I were in the market for a new phone, which I'm not, I would consider the iPhone XR, which you're going to see steeply discounted, probably to right around the $500 range. And for $500, the iPhone XR is a hell of a smartphone if you're into the Apple ecosystem. This may impact the sales of the Galaxy 10 series of phones, because they won't be 5G. See, they're kind of in a quandary. The 9, we have Note 8s. The Galaxy 9 is out and was selling pretty good, but that's starting to taper off again because everybody's waiting on 5G. It has not yet been announced whether the Galaxy 10 is going to be a 5G device. My bet is that it's going to be.
Probably will be, yeah. The thing about it is that if you're going to upgrade to this, it is not going to be cheap. First of all, your monthly fees are going to be more. So the more speed you have available, the higher price you usually pay. Then again, there's the device issue of how many devices are out there that are compatible with this. So I think some of the lagging sales in some of these newer devices, be it the iPhone deals or the Samsung Galaxies, is because people, why would I give up my Note 8? I don't use it to its full capacity yet anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I don't need a new fancy schmancy device. I haven't worn out the one I got.
Really cool thing about 5G networks is that the hardware is a lot smaller because the frequencies are much higher.
Not your phone part is smaller, but the infrastructure.
Yeah, the infrastructure.
Network
is,
equipment.
Instead of a tower that is 100 feet high and sometimes is cleverly disguised as a pine tree.
Yes.
And we've seen them as palm trees.
Those actually
don't
look too bad.
Yeah.
Look a little weird on coastal Oregon.
These devices are actually roughly the size of a backpack, maybe a little refrigerator like what goes in your bar or wine refrigerator, and can be mounted on existing power poles. And they actually daisy chain from one to the next. And this is going to enable 5G rollout into anywhere where there's highways and power poles.
Yep.
And you're going to see this, I think, roll out fairly quickly. The 4G rollout was fast, but 5G is going to be really fast. And these are speeds that are going to do things like spin out a full high-definition movie in
90
just
seconds.
Yeah, in about 90 seconds. And it's going to make 4K streaming a reality. The wild cards are, of course, what are your data caps going to look like? What are your plans going to look like? There's a lot of behind-the-scenes maneuvering.
Yeah, and a lot of unknowns for us as consumers at this point in the game. But back to my comment, though, about it won't be cheap.
No.
You're going to pay more for the higher quality service, especially if you're an early adopter. You either need the device to handle it and
you need the hotspot.
Which is about 500. One of them is about $500.
Yeah, the only way it's on the market right now is made by Netgear. And, yeah, it's a $500 thing to carry around because now not only do you have to make sure your phone is charged, and we ran into this with our hotspot, our 4G hotspot.
Right.
Before this was before we could use our phone or my tablet as a hotspot. Now it's another thing to pack around.
Indeed.
So watch for it, but I'll bet you there's going to be announcements. What I see interesting for 5G is that high-speed internet in rural areas is going to become a lot more practical in the remote areas as the system rolls out.
Oh, sure.
But it's going to take a little time. There's questions about bandwidth packing. But these things are operating, I think, I want to say in the 5 gigahertz ranges. And there's some new they're actually going to operate in multiple parts of the spectrum. Which is one of the reasons why the FCC has been busy auctioning off big chunks of the existing broadcast spectrum.
Yeah.
So that is a story worthy of following over the next several months. And watch CES, because everybody's going to introduce a handset to be introduced at some point during the year.
Oh, sure.
It just is the nature of the beast.
Well, they have to keep up.
With the other guy. It's in whoever gets out there the fustest with the mostest, as the old saying goes. We're coming up on the top of the hour. We're going to break for SRN News. We've got more tech news that you can use right after that. So, Jared, we're going to toss it to you in about 10 seconds so you can get us out of here. One final spot in our legal ID. You're listening to Boomer Tech Radio.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Val Dior. As the partial government shutdown rolls into its second week, President Trump is back on Twitter. Correspondent Shelley Adler reports.
President Donald Trump says he's waiting for Democrats to come back to negotiate a deal to end a week-long partial government shutdown that will almost certainly extend into the new year. In a tweet Saturday, Trump says he's, quote, in the White House, waiting for the Democrats to come on over and make a deal on border security. From what I hear, he added, they're spending so much time on presidential harassment that they have little time left for things like stopping crime and our military. Trump is demanding billions for a border wall between the U.S. and Mexico, which Democrats have refused to provide. Shelley Antler, Washington.
The sheriff leading the investigation into the shooting death of a California police officer took aim at so-called sanctuary laws that limit cooperation with U.S. immigration authorities.
While we absolutely need to stay focused on Officer Singh's service and sacrifice, we can't ignore the fact that this could have been preventable.
Preventable, says Stanislaus County Sheriff Adam Christensen, who and says California sanctuary laws not have kept local law enforcement from being able to turn the suspect over to Immigration and Customs Enforcement for deportation. With an estimated 2 million people expected in New York Times Square on New Year's Eve, there's a low threat level and a massive police presence planned to keep the event venue safe and secure. Deputy New York Police Commissioner John Miller says he can't say much about the FBI's counter-drone activity.
The Department of Justice and Homeland Security both have the legal authority to use counter-drone technology. At this point, it wouldn't be helpful to get into what that is or how that works because, well, for obvious reasons.
New York City Police Commissioner James O'Neill says there will be officers in and
Pat Boone here again, and I assure you, I have never before endorsed a pain relief product. Not until now. Not until Relief Factor came along as a 100% drug-free solution for people struggling with ordinary pain. Quite simply, Relief Factor was designed by doctors to help relieve those occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, and everyday living. Let me ask you, are aches and pains keeping you from sleeping through the night? Or keeping you from taking those nice long walks or playing golf or tennis? You can't really call it living if you can't get around comfortably. The 3-week quick start from Relief Factor may be all you need to lower or even eliminate these pains. A whole lot of people have already gone to ReliefFactor.com, and here's something you need to know. The majority of people who order the 3-week quick start, now only $19.95, go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain, too. Go to ReliefFactor.com.
Police today in Paris fired tear gas as demonstrators clashed once again with riot police. Since 1950, Baltimore has dropped from America's sixth most populous city to the country's 30th largest, and there's no end in sight for the population drain. At a time when rival cities are gaining residents, Baltimore's decades-long disappearing act is continuing. Baltimore has led all U.S. cities in population loss for the last 2 years running. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. British divers who rescued young soccer players trapped in a flooded cave in Thailand are among those being recognized in Britain's New Year's honors list. Here's Zaria Shackley.
It's stardom during the Beatles era will become a dame, the female equivalent of a knight, while Palin, whose second career had seen him become an acclaimed travel documentary maker, receives a knighthood. Jim Carter, who played the acerbic Mr. Carson in Downton Abbey, was also recognized, as was filmmaker Christopher Nolan, director of Inception and Dunkirk, and best-selling author Philip Pullman, creator of the Dark Materials trilogy. The list released also named 43 people who responded quickly to the extremist attacks in Manchester and London in 2017. Sarah Shackley, London.
Stories at townhall.com.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
And welcome back. Boomer Tech Radio is the name of the program, and we got 1 hour left to make radio history here on KCNR. And, of course, on the podcast around the world. But this will mark the final hour of our 10-year run here on this station, and we are pulling the show into hiatus while we get ready to move along, if you're just joining us. So we are live today from Coos Bay, Oregon. And if you want to dial in, 530-605-4567, and Jared, our producer back there at the station, will throw the switches and make the magic in order to get you on the air. And through the miracle of electronics, we should be able to hear and respond. But we've had a lot of interesting questions just this morning. We went to go get a haircut, and the lady asked, well, I've got a VHS tape, and it's a very precious one to her. It's not a commercial movie. It is one that was recorded of a stint she did on a game show, which was kind of cool. And so it was recorded by somebody at home, so it's on a VHS. I don't know how old the tape is.
It's pretty old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Recording a VHS and getting it onto a digital format, whether it be DVD, which would be the most common, but it can also be converted into video on a flash drive. In fact, this last year, a video production I do each year, we stopped doing DVDs except on request, and we gave everybody their movies on a flash drive, which actually went over pretty well.
Yeah, people were very happy about that.
Because you can copy that and hand it. DVDs can be tricky to copy unless you've got the right software to do it. But once you've got an MP4 file on your flash drive, pretty straightforward to just make a copy of it and send it off to your friends, or edit out your piece of the show and put it up on YouTube or whatever, because that's become a fairly ubiquitous and compact format for putting out high-definition video.
Right.
But anyway, if you there are companies, a lot of camera stores offer VHS or even movie film to digital conversions. Prices vary. To convert a VHS over to a DVD, fairly straightforward process. There are products that you can buy that will do this for you. I would stay away, unless if you've got a VCR that is still working correctly, and there are some out there. There are actually a few VCRs still on the market. you can get a little box that will plug into your computer, usually on the USB port, and that will be of sufficient quality to generate the digital file needed to create the DVD. And what's nice about that, of course, and that's what I told the lady who asked us this morning, we can, once you've got the tape ingested, in other words, it has gone from tape to digital bits,
right,
you can go into an editor and trim out the parts you don't want. The especially if it's a network broadcast, you don't need to see the soap commercials and all that stuff. You can edit all that out. I think, did I ever get around to doing your, you had a tape of you doing a Good Morning America that you can kind of make out who it is through all the snow on the screen, because it wasn't a particularly good video copy.
That could go bye-bye in the annals of history, and there would be no loss. I have to explain that when you get done, why I was on that.
But anyway, there are
I have another story that goes with that.
Yeah, there are boxes that will enable you to – and if you have any tech at all, or maybe you have a 15-year-old who will look at that and go, where'd you get this, the Smithsonian? If they even know what the Smithsonian is. Fairly straightforward to plug it into your laptop or desktop, make a digital copy, and then crank out DVDs as many as you want. And I've done this for people. We had a lady who was still singing and dancing well into her 80s.
Yes, I remember that.
And we made digital copies for her to give out to all her friends. And she was very happy that we were able to consolidate some tapes. I've had some musicians contact me about early performance tapes that they were done on a local TV station. We took out a lot of the excess stuff. And train videos. A friend of mine had a bunch of train videos he wanted converted to DVD. Because every time you put a VHS tape in a machine, you wear a little bit of it off if the machine is working at all and doesn't decide to just up and eat the tape.
Yeah, just like cassette players, cassette tape players.
Yeah, which, by the way, I was surprised. Apparently cassette tapes are
more robust than you think.
Yeah, well, I saw cassette recorders on the rack at the Bi-Mart up here, and I hadn't seen a cassette recorder for sale for ages, but It's sort of a retro thing, sort of like photography making mm-hmm. a comeback, film photography mm-hmm. making a comeback. Somebody's got the old Kodak formulas and they're making film again. I think Fuji is still making film.
They have their kind of like Polaroid instant.
Yes,
thing.
There's a company that is making Polaroid packs for the old SX70 series cameras, and that's kind of cool. Yeah. But what's nice about that is one copy. It's not digital, so it's secure.
Unique.
Yeah.
And it's unique.
If you take a picture of something with your smartphone, the odds are it is loading up to the cloud on your Google account or whatever. So if it's a thing that you don't want anybody else to ever see, mm-hmm. then you just use the old technology.
Analog is sometimes good.
Indeed.
So, folks, to explain the national TV reference, folks in the Reading area, of course, are no strangers to extreme fire conditions this year being a
memorable
notable events, almost a notable exception where it's just extreme. But 1998, Florida was the hot spot, and I was there associated with my job, doing things, and somehow some producer somewhere saw me do something, and they said, we have to get you on national television in the morning. So I had no idea about television production. The knowledge I have now is far more vast than it was at that time. And they wired me up. It was really kind of interesting. They had the commentators actually in the studio asking questions, and what was interesting is that it was very difficult to hear them because the studio was echoey. You don't hear that on television because of the microphones they use and such. But when the mics they were asking me, the system they were asking me questions through may have been an open studio mic.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of echo and it was hard to understand them. Anyway, I didn't look that great on national television. And so it's not like I'm proud of this event, but it was really interesting. They were asking me questions that were pretty basic, but I'm sure the producer said, well, that was a dud. I don't think they kept me on there as long as they might have.
Mm-hmm.
Today I would have an entirely different reaction and do things differently, but that's because I have a lot more experience, and I understand what's going on the other end. I could understand the control room just fine.
Yeah.
But when it came to the folks in the studio, they were it was difficult to understand what they were asking.
Yeah, and of course the whole nature of media has changed.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, my mom's phone started ringing off the hook. Oh, my God, we saw Brenda on national television.
Good Morning America.
So, yeah. So there's an extension to this story where – back in the day before robocalls, you know, you would actually get somebody to call you up and offer some kind of prize for something, right, or the chance to earn something or whatever, it was at the time you actually talked to a person instead of getting a robocall. It's the same stuff.
Yeah.
It's just it was a different format at the time. So the guy says, oh, well, you know, if you do this, you could get I said, what are the prizes? Well, the grand prize was like a Cadillac. I said, forget it. I'm a truck person. I don't like cars, so that's not very appealing. And then there was something about this barbecue, and I said, well, I have a perfectly good working one and that. And then the crowning glory was, you know, your 15 minutes of fame. You get to be on national television. I said, been there, done that. It's not that big a deal. And the guy had a really long pause, and he goes, wow. What was that like? He said he was really intrigued about being on national TV. I said, well, you know. It is
no
what
big
it is.
Thing.
Well, it was interesting, too. I learned how cutthroat national television is.
Yes.
The folks that were.
When you get up to that level.
When you get to that level, you sell your soul.
Yeah.
No, thank you very much.
No
wonder you stayed with local radio, dear. I don't blame you.
Yeah, that's not worth the headaches of going
Definitely
all
not.
That much further.
Yes.
A product that came along and really changed movie making, especially for the non-traditionalists, was the Red camera company called Red. And they were the first really mass-marketed cinema-grade video camera good enough to actually make high-end movies. And I forget when the original came out, but they really turned the movie-making industry on its head with what they called the RAW format. It was uncompressed. It really ate a lot of computer time. But shooting movies to digital is now the norm. And, in fact, feature films are being shot on Canon. The major players in the movie industry have come out with digital versions of their camera. Aeroflex has a digital camera. But the Red, the Dragon, the Red One, was a, and you paid about $10,000 for the box, and then you started adding pieces to it, like the lenses and the monitors and all this sort of stuff. But it was a big change. Before that, if you got a Panavision, those were all rented, and you rented them for thousands of dollars a day, and which is and they still have Panavision cameras. They still shoot 35 millimeter and 70 millimeter, but they're incredibly expensive to do shooting on film, because the dailies, if you're shooting in digital form, of course, as soon as you shoot it, you can see it.
Right.
If you're shooting on film, the film has to be processed, turned around, and then you get a copy like the next day, what they call the dailies, to see how the movie's going. And if you had to have to do a reshoot of a scene, maybe there was something in the background that you didn't notice. Digital form, of course, you can see that instantly. So the Red camera, the Red series of cameras, really changed professional movie making. And so the corporation, a couple of years ago, started making noise that they were going to do this with a smartphone, because feature films are actually being shot on smartphones now. There's a film out there or two that was shot on like an iPhone. And you can gussy up an iPhone to give you a pretty decent an iPhone or a high-end Android phone to give you a pretty decent picture. And when this came out, a lot of people said, I don't know, the Red Hydrogen camera phone, primarily a camera, but it also made phone calls and did stuff like this. just a super hyped product. The release date got pushed back and pushed back. It was finally released at about $1,300. Good battery, stereo speakers. But it had, if they had stopped there with just shooting high quality video, but they tried to put in too much wow into the box. Bulky. In order to fit all this stuff in there, the thing is huge, uncomfortable to hold. The, quote, holographic display that you didn't need glasses to see. It's junk. It does digital trickery to make it look like it's in 3D.
Right.
It uses a fairly early version of Android, and it was going to have a lot of modules. Now, they tried this with the Moto X.
Yeah.
Snap-on modules, depending on – it's just more stuff to rattle around in your bag.
Motorola.
Yeah, Motorola.
And actually, the concept with Motorola was just fine. It's just that in practical application, it's just not what people are looking for. I mean, you want to whip out one device and be done with it.
That's
why my analog DSLR camera – or not DSLR, SLR camera is got a lens that's like a 4-in-1.
Yeah.
So I don't like to change lenses.
Yeah, and there are, of course, compromises whenever you do that. So it is the compromise factor of the red one and its overall poor performance, especially given the price point of $1,300, added up to Mashable naming the red one, hydrogen one, I should say, as the worst, not just the worst camera phone, the worst tech product of 2018,
right.
A dubious achievement.
That is quite a dubious, which is really interesting because a little history on the Red Camera Company is that it was founded by Jim Gennard, who founded Oakley. Oakley of
Sports, the sunglasses,
sunglasses and sportswear fame and all that stuff. And he was a self-described camera fanatic. Had over 1,000 cameras to his name, and they were looking to originally develop a DSLR that had cinema quality imagery is really how they kind of got started. They're headquartered in Irvine, and they have studios in Hollywood. They have offices around the world, most notably London, Shanghai, and Singapore. But the red one is actually good one, not what the hydrogen you were talking about was the worst product. The red one was introduced in 2007, and they were actually working on 4K resolution before that was really that was required. So along came some notable cinematographers applying the technology into their movies. Peter Jackson, of course, of Lord of the Rings fame, and he did some other stuff, Steven Soderbergh. And so, you know, there were some Hollywood powerhouses that folks or power folks that got into this, and Red One got some traction that way. But it's sort of like any company, you don't always have a hit for everything, right? So this latest thing is probably a bit of a ping on their track record. But, you know, there are notable disasters. Coca-Cola had one, right, when they tried to change formulas. So this is just what happens with all of these things. And but the company is still very viable, as I understand it. And they do have some very good products.
I would love to have a Dragon or one of the similar.
Some of them, those
prosumer grade cameras. When it comes to phones, though, the hydrogen one
don't invest.
Isn't making the grade.
Not making a favorable impression.
So. Apparently the video is not bad, but there's better, and holographic apps was declared to be a complete fail. And I'm kind of sorry about that because I was looking forward to seeing how the how the red one camera was going to, or the hydrogen one was going to work.
Last hour, you briefly mentioned, non-segue here, briefly mentioned going to 4K televisions and OLED and all of that sort of thing, that technology is coming up. There's watch for sales now that Super Bowl's around the corner. That's always a good tip for the first of the year. Of course, the holiday season is big for electronic sales, but you can get even more smoking deals after the first of the year is that event starts to show up. But something that's starting to impinge on our consciousness, and we've seen this before, we've been watching this for a while, is the sound systems that are now available for folks. You know, the speakers in the actual flat screen are terrible.
Yeah.
And nobody...
They know that you're going to hook it up to something
else. They know you're
going to
hook it up to something else. And so there are some amazing sound bars out there and shop around. We first saw those at CES about 6 years ago, I think, was some pretty high-end sound bars. And it's a way to achieve surround sound. They do some very interesting audio trickery so that you don't have to actually have physical speakers behind you to get that surround sound effect. Mm-hmm. And it does sound like surround sound. You can hear stuff coming from the left or the right or from behind you. It's really interesting. It fools you on that. So as with anything else, there's a broad range of price points with that, and the lower prices are probably not quite as good a quality. You can spend a fortune on some of these, but what's happening is that there is now a lot of competition for sound bars. So there are some very good mid-priced sound bars that are affordable for the everyday viewer. And meaning that the technology is starting to come together and that the consumer has more to pick from. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you have to do is you really have to just go listen to them to find out. And it's if you're into tech or interested in tech, it's a whole nother tech thing to read up on, because soundbars don't work like your normal speaker systems. They use a different approach to achieve that surround sound that we would all like to have in our house that we don't have to go to the theater for.
Yeah. Now, if the built-in processing can achieve a surround-like effect, if you want actual surround sound, wireless speakers are now available. Because one of the big objections has been running speaker wires all
everywhere.
Over the house.
Exactly.
A lot of folks who have invested a fair amount in their decor don't want big, bulky speaker wires. And there's things like running flat cable under the carpet. Maybe you pre-wire the house for in-wall speakers.
If you decide you're going to move them, that's a problem.
Those are rather not movable. So
not very portable.
If you're going to get a sound bar,
move to a new house.
There are some nice ones out from LG. Bose is making a nice sound bar. There's an article here in the Boomer Tech magazine about LGs, which have some processing that includes Dolby Atmos. And Dolby Atmos is that processing that will give you the surround effect without seven or eight speakers. It only works up to a point.
Sure. If you are a hardcore movie person and you have a dedicated theater room in your house, you're going to go ahead and have the more theater-type experience. But if you're the home consumer, there are actually some systems out there that have very good sound without having to have all those speakers.
If you're just a sports buff, you probably don't need a subwoofer. But if you are a big movie person, of course, a subwoofer is really going to expand the movie capabilities. And even low-end soundbars. We've got a Samsung that I think cost us $120.
I think that was on sale, but same difference.
It's got a pretty decent subwoofer.
It's not bad.
It's not going to
your windows.
Yeah, it's not going to rock the foundation. But compared to the built-in speakers, it's a big deal. Now, there is a very highly rated soundbar with subwoofer from Bose. Now, usually Bose means lots and lots of dollar signs.
You're
paying a lot for the name. And I forget which model it is. I'll have to look that up. But one of Bose's more recent offerings in soundbars is really getting good reviews and bang for the buck value ratings.
Exactly.
So shop around. Try to get in a place, and this is where your local home theater store comes in nice, as opposed to going into the big mass marketplace where you're trying to listen to 50 things going on all around you. It's hard to get an idea of what a soundbar is going to sound like when you're in a big open aisle. You need an enclosed space like you're going to have in your very own home. So maybe spending the couple extra bucks in a stereo store is going to be the right move. Boomer Tech Radio, we'll be back with more of the tech news you can use right after these messages.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers to keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I got to ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's going to last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it forever furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed, but after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Mark Hummel's Blues Harmonica Blowout brings a roster full of Grammy winners and nominees to the Cascade Theater January 16th. It's a stellar night of Southern Blues Harp Masters featuring Bobby Rush, Kenny Neal, James Harmon, Johnny Sansoni, and Mark Hummel's Golden State Lone Star Blues Review featuring Anson Funderburg. The Blues Harmonica Blowout at the Cascade, January 16th at 7:30. Get your tickets now at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, Because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Well, like the song goes, one more time.
Yep.
Should have played that. This is it. This is the final half hour of Boomer Tech Radio in its current form.
On KCNR.
On KCNR in Reading.
Yep.
We may relaunch the show under a different format, but this is it after 10 years. And we've only had about a dozen or so repeat best ofs. We didn't make it back in time.
Less than 20,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah,
so. I think it has only been about a dozen, which is pretty amazing considering.
Yeah.
So. That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of we've gone through a lot of evolution of the show. But we have always we've enjoyed talking to people who listen to the show, so this is it. Next week in the noon to two slot will be Talking Tech, which will be a live call-in show nationwide, and then there'll be Pop Tech. From the editors of Popular Science magazine. So two excellent shows filling in. We tried to get Leo Laporte, but we couldn't get him. So that is how radio works. And so we're here for another 20 minutes, give or take, in 530-605-4567. If you have any last-minute questions before we head out, maybe you got yourself a smart speaker. This was the year of the smart speaker.
Apparently so.
A product that didn't even exist 4 years ago has really hit market saturation. Alexa, everything. So, hey, Google, everything. And now I've triggered every
triggered
smart speaker.
Triggered off a whole bunch of devices.
I don't care. What are they going to do, stop listening?
Well, the whole thing is, it's funny, the word computer will come up and it's probably fired off the device across the room, and it's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the blue ring did come
on. It's listening. Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't help you with that. Or
yeah,
I'm sorry, I don't know that one.
Yeah.
Or what have you. It's pretty funny. You'll be watching a movie and something comes up.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
Yeah,
and that creeps some people out.
Well, you know, it's listening for trigger words and it thought it heard it.
If you got yourself a smart speaker or somebody picked one up, don't go into the app store and get the setup for Amazon Alexa app from One World Software. It's a scam, and it's actually making its way up the Amazon App Store charts. They haven't gotten rid of this thing yet. As of the time this story was written yesterday morning, it was number 75 in the top free apps list and number 6 in the list of top utilities apps, according to 9to5Mac, when you launch this fake app, it asks for an IP address and your device's serial number.
Ooh.
So far, neither Apple nor Amazon have taken any action to get this thing off the store. The universal reviews are that it's junk, and nobody really knows what it's doing. Who's key? Who's has
yeah.
this thing activating
exactly.
the microphone in your house so that people can start listening
right.
in. Now, there are folks who think that happens anyway.
Right.
But this is a fake app, and again, it is from One World Software. They have a couple other dodgy apps in the App Store.
So last hour, we mentioned malware. This isn't malware, but it's apparently not doing anything. It's gathering data is obviously what it's doing.
Yeah.
And it is available through the Apple the app stores. So even when it is something is available through the App Store, doesn't mean that it's guaranteed to be legitimate. In this case, it's not malware, but it's doing something nefarious probably. And so, yeah, stay away from the that. You're better off, again, going to the website of the manufacturer, so the device, you know, they're not going to go through a third party for some of that kind of stuff if it's legitimate software for it.
Yep. Now, here's good news if you have been thinking about building your own PC or upgrading your own PC, which upgrading your own PC is not a hard thing to do. Your processors have not made huge leaps and bounds in the last couple of years. It's been very incremental changes. For the most part, an Intel i7 or a AMD quad-core series processors, a Phenom series processor, fast enough for pretty much anything you're going to want to do on your home PC. I have about an 8-year-old PC that I'm putting back into service, and it's working just fine under Windows 10. Now, some machines that are running Windows 10 now won't be able to run the operating system in a couple of more years, but by then the hardware will probably be dying anyway. If you've got a regular home PC, what are the things that you can do? Well, here's one thing I'm going to do to my PC that I want to upgrade is the memory. It came stock. It's a Dell. Came stock with 4 gigs of RAM. If you're running Windows 10, 4 gigs of RAM is just the absolute minimum to be able to run the operating system and maybe an application or two. So you're going to want to take that up to 8, 16 if you can swing it. The good news is the component prices, the memory chips, are dropping in price. 10% drop in DDR4 RAM. And what you're going to want to do is note the model of your machine, whether it's a Dell, and then the model number that it is, and then go to the Crucial website, which Crucial's a big maker of memory modules, or one of the other major makers. Enter your model information, because there's a lot of different variations in memory modules. But that's the biggest single thing you can do to upgrade your computer. If your hard drive is getting really, really full, consider, if you've got room for it, adding a second drive, a SATA drive. Very easy to add to most PCs.
Oh, yeah.
Third thing you want to think about.
Let's plug in a portal.
Graphics cards. Now, 2017, 2018 were terrible years to go looking for a graphics card because the Bitcoin miners were buying up all the graphics cards because of their high computing power in a relatively small package. Well, now that the Bitcoin boom is starting to go bust, an awful lot of graphics cards are showing up on the market at cut rate prices. There's a new generation of cards coming out from NVIDIA that will force previous generation card prices down. I would go, if I was going to run out and shop for a graphics card, I'd look for a 1080 card, a 1080 series card. That's not the resolution. That's the series of cards. If you are an AMD fan, the 590 series of cards. And they, AMD and NVIDIA each make the central components, and then these other companies will add on their own special pieces. So if you go to Newegg or one of these sites, actually see who's selling the card that has the pieces you want. That's probably that's the big three things that you can do to upgrade your PC and kind of make it feel like a new machine. It's a bigger hard drive, more memory, and better graphics card.
And if you're going to do more memory in particular, and graphics cards are somewhat the same, you have to make sure it's compatible with
right.
your
That's why you go to
CPU.
The site. Yeah.
Right. And that's where Newegg and there's another one that's really good about that.
Tiger Direct.
Yeah. You enter what you have and it will guide you into things that are compatible with that. And if it's not compatible, you'll have endless headaches. But if you get stuff that's compatible, it's really easy to make those upgrades.
Solid-state drive prices are falling rapidly, as has been predicted.
No surprise.
That's going to be a thing you can do to your PC to really kick it in the pants is change your drive over to a new solid state drive, and make sure you get one that has the cloning software so that you can take your old the information off your old spinning drive and apply it to the new solid state drive. There's a number of software packages. There's companies that'll do that for you, but I tell you what, the difference in putting in a solid state drive, if you've got a Mac, this is a slam dunk.
Yep.
I did that to my MacBook Pro. I replaced the older 750 gig spinning hard drive with a modern, it's only a 480 gig, but I do most of my storage externally anyway on my MacBook Pro. I went from over 3 minutes of boot up time on my MacBook Pro to get into up to the Mac OS desktop to less than 40 seconds from the time you hit the power button to the time you've got a screen up in front of you. That's a huge difference. You're sitting there watching the little bar crawl across the screen. It's kind of like the old days of file transfers. Video cards are back, as I said, regular pricing levels. Miners have stopped bulk buying cards and pushing up the prices. The Radeon RX 580 card peaked back about February, but has since declined back well below the $400 level and is heading down towards the $200 level. So it's a great time to build your own PC. It's really not that hard. I've done it.
It isn't.
I had a existing case, and I bought a new power supply. And that's a place, if you're building your own PC, don't scrimp on the power supply.
That can be a source of headaches if you don't get one
enough. Yeah, do not undersize your power supply.
Oversize it if you have the ability.
If you and
have the space and the money, do it.
The difference between a 500 watt power supply and an 800 watt power supply is
pennies.
$100 at the most, and you're going to save yourself thousands of dollars worth of
hassle.
Headache.
Yeah. When I say pennies, it's relative to what you would have if your power supply dies, that's a major headache.
Yeah. So in essence, you can and there are guides online to help you do this. You can take your old box, and you want to make sure you've got compatibility. But there are places that will put together the package to make sure that they all fit. When I rebuilt my gaming computer, I ordered the CPU, the central processing unit, the brains of the operation, already fitted into the motherboard. And a cooling tower installed professionally.
Yeah.
So that came in a box ready to go.
And tested.
So they've already benchmarked it and made sure that it has everybody's talking to everybody else. A 500 gig solid state drive. And I've got myself a nice little screaming machine, put in 16 gig of RAM. Which, if you do anything that is labor intensive on your PC, I wouldn't go less than 16 gigs. Just some benchmarks there that you want to go with. So if you're crazy and you've got the funding for it, go 32. Now, not all your apps are going to be able to take advantage of that, but it's kind of like buying a TV right now. I would look very hard for a 4K TV, and you don't need, this is where, you know, The panels themselves aren't changing every single year. It's what gets added to the panels. I would not necessarily spend vast sums of money on smart TV features. Why? Because more than likely you're going to use like a Roku box, a Fire Cube, or an Apple TV even, something of that nature that is going to do all that streaming stuff for you. It's nice to have an all-in-one TV, but you're limited to the hardware that is in that TV. I think you're better off getting a good display that doesn't have all the bells and whistles and getting the external box. One of our regular listeners asked about she wanted to get Netflix on her TV. She had just a basic flat screen. And my solution in that case is to take a look at Roku. There's a stick version that just plugs right into a port on your TV. The Fire Stick is a good option. I'm not a big fan of the Google dongle when it comes to streaming.
It's awkward.
Yeah, it's awkward. You got to use your smartphone to control it.
Yeah.
Apple TV, we've had one. Apple is trying to exact money out of you for each and everything. But if you've got an existing Amazon account, especially if it's a Prime account, and you want to add Netflix and Hulu, that kind of covers a lot of the stuff. We got more stuff than we want, than we need.
Yeah.
And we're doing everything through the Fire TV Cube. Now, the Fire TV Cube is about $150. It doubles up as a smart speaker. It will, during the setup process, you say, I have a sound bar, and it'll talk to the sound bar. So what's kind of neat is we just say, hey, TV on.
Yep.
And it fires up the sound bar, fires up the TV, brings up the first screen, all from just a single
command.
And you can actually say, start such and such a show, and it'll do it. And most of the time, it's pretty darned accurate.
Amazing.
And we can turn the lights off with it.
Or on.
So you can actually build routines into your smart speaker.
Right.
And you would do this through the app that you would say, movie time. Hey, A, movie time. It'll fire up the TV. It'll fire up the sound bar. It'll tune to your favorite app and dim the lights if you have smart.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, all that all
if you
connected
have
up.
That installed.
Yeah.
like the Philips Hue lights. That's kind of Picard. That's kind of Star Trek Next Generation stuff.
Pretty much Star Trek. Yeah. Tea. Earl Grey hot.
Yes. And we're getting
And that's
close.
Coming. It's coming.
Yeah.
Yep.
So smartphone makers are going to show off a lot of new technology coming up at the upcoming CES. One technology, and this is kind of interesting, according to Digital Trends, flat panel speakers that are built right into the screen display of your smartphone.
That's kind of bizarro.
Yeah. This will lead the way to a completely bezel-less full-screen device. Most smartphones have a tiny speaker in the very top edge.
Right.
Or you have, of course, the famous Apple Notch that everybody just went nuts about. Because, in fact, there were lawsuits over the Apple Notch because it's not really a 5-inch or whatever screen.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a piece missing out of it. But in-screen speaker technology uses piezoelectric transducers behind the screen to send audio waves through the display, and it.
All you have to do is put your ear up to it.
Yeah, yeah,
and you would hear sound as if you would hear it anyway.
Now the bandwidth is a little bit of an issue, but it is improving all the time, and that's probably the next thing in large flat panel displays. So that the sound, whenever you put in a sound bar, you're compromising. It's either down below or off to the side or up above. But if you could actually have, and this is something we're going to see in a couple of years, I guarantee it, multi-channel on-screen display so that the sound appears to come from the portion of the screen where the subject is.
Oh, yes.
Now, that's going to be cool.
That helps develop a 3D-like experience.
So
that'll be very interesting. There's always something new coming up.
If I were buying a new TV in this post-holiday, pre-Super Bowl season, I would go with an OLED. You're going to pay about $1,000 more for an OLED TV than you will a similarly sized LCD. But OLED
– visual experience is amazing.
Organic LED. You're going to see deep, rich blacks. Beautiful, vivid colors.
Vivid colors, yep.
High Clarity. Dynamic range.
Yep.
If you watch a lot of TV, you're going to notice the difference. Now, admittedly, you can go down to Walmart and get yourself a 50-inch flat screen for under $1,000.
Under $500, I think.
Yeah, there are some bargain basement, but that's exactly what they are, is bargain basement models.
And if you're not too concerned about you know, the clarity of the imagery, or it's a huge upgrade from whatever it is you've been doing, go for it. Bless your heart. I mean, everyone's got a budget, and there is something out there for everyone's budget.
Yeah. But I would, right now, the price point for a 4K TV, you're probably looking at right around $1,500 for a 4K TV. If you're OLED, you're probably up another couple hundred, but it's going to look gorgeous.
Yep. And if you wait definitely another year, and two more years, the prices of those things will come way down. They always do. So that they will, and by then people will be seeing a lot more 4K content. It'll make sense to actually have that kind of a device in your collection, if you will. Mm-hmm. And people will be ready for upgrading to things. You know, their mm-hmm. sets are 3, 5, 8 years old by then.
Yep. If I were buying a TV, I'd stick to one of the big hitters. Yeah. I would not get a name that's non-pronounceable that you've never heard of before. Because while the panels may look the same, the internal guts, the power, they had to cut somewhere.
Yes.
The power supply or whatever. And if it fails, how do you get it fixed? Right. If you've got an LG or a Samsung or an RCA or a Sony or one of those major brands, you probably have
a decent warranty.
A
for
warranty that you're going to be able to go back and get
it collects on. Yep.
A major investment like that is one of the few places where I would actually consider. If I was spending $2,000, you know, $1,500 to $2,000 on a flat screen, I would consider the extended warranty, because in that case, it does make sense, especially if it's a warranty that protects you if the cat crawls behind your ultra-thin TV and knocks it over.
Yeah, that is always a possibility in these cases.
So which does
make an argument for hanging it on the wall, but that isn't to say that the cat wouldn't hang on it on the wall.
Yeah. So I would consider it in those cases. But anyway, thinner.
Could be done.
Yep. But I would go with an OLED high dynamic range and expect to spend somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000 at a minimum for a TV that is worth having, that's going to stick around for a couple of years, and then plan on adding like a Roku box or a Fire TV cube. We really like our cube.
Yeah, it works really well. Yeah. I was surprised.
The Fire Stick had a tendency to either have to buffer a lot or actually overheat in the running summer. That was interesting.
Yep.
Finally, and this is pretty significant, according to TechSpot, an article quoting from New York Magazine, most of the internet is actually fake. Now, we hear about fake news, we hear about scams, we hear about all this stuff. The prevailing wisdom is that it's somewhere just under half of the content, like clickbaits that you see at the bottom of the stories that are designed to draw you into clicking on the story, and they have common themes on their hooks to try to get you to click and hold you in place. And it's like they have the really cool picture, but you have to look at 50 other pictures before you get to it, if you get to it at all.
Yeah, a lot of times you don't even get to it. So this article talks about what do they mean by fake stuff on the internet? Well,
bots.
These are like the robocalls. Yeah, automated things. These are like the robocalls you're getting on your cell phones now, in spite of being on the national do not call list. They're basically advertisements. Some of them are
click farms.
Yeah, soliciting this and that and whatever. It's not really a surprise that this is going on. So, it's kind of interesting because fake accounts for some things are being favored because of their preponderance, and a person is deemed to be fake by some automated systems. So this is really weird. It's almost like a cultural shift.
We are the robots. Beep, 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 beep.
Well, and it's a bit Borgish in a way, you know.
You will be assimilated.
Yeah, resistance is futile.
And that is it. This
Thank
is
you
it.
So much
oh,
for your
yeah.
listening support over the years.
We really do appreciate the people who have come up to us during the past 10 years and told us they enjoy the show. We will be signing off. It is Boomer Tech Radio, and one more time I get to say, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other.
The line that made me contact you in the first place.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State. This is KCNR.